Going to get into the Word a little bit. Is that okay? And how about that? Imagine that. So that the favor of God can rest upon us in this. Now, this church is faithful. And I will tell you, for the most part, I don't know who gives what, who's tithing, who's not. There are many who don't believe that New Testament, the tithing is New Testament. There are some who don't believe tithing is New Testament, but they still tithe, you know. And there are those who don't. I want to show you through the Scriptures, though. I want us to go in and take a look at what God has to say about this and the purpose and the reason behind tithing. Not only tithing, but there's a such thing as the first fruits offering. Yeah. Now, first fruit offering was that which was presented out of the harvest prior to the harvest. A first fruits offering would be received. It would be gleaned from the harvest first, before the actual harvest was brought in. And then after the harvest was brought in would be the tithe, which would be 10%. That portion, 10%, belonged to Father God. The same thing went for the flocks and the herds. The firstlings would be that which was offered. The first that would come out of the womb would be holy unto the Lord. That was God's property. It would be given up for sacrifice. And if it wasn't qualified to be sacrificed, then it would be sold back. A price had to be paid for that because it belonged to God. And so giving is huge in the kingdom, because giving really is a matter of faith. I personally have struggled with giving. And I'll be honest with you. I give, I tithe now. I mean, it's not a problem now, but early on in my Christian walk, I struggled with this because we're logical. And we look at things and we say, yeah, but I can't make it if I do this. But how many know that the just shall live by faith and not by sight? And so God will test us in this, in our giving. And sometimes God may ask us to do something that may, to our natural minds, seem impossible or unreasonable. And again, we're not going to take an offering after this message. I want you to learn something, though. Most of us are very familiar with a passage in Malachi that talks about the tithe. And so I just want to, as a foundation, start there, and then we're going to move on from there. So turn in your Bibles tonight to Malachi chapter 3. That's the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, verse 7, chapter 3, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Do you see the order there? First, we need to what? Return. It means to repent. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now, how many know that it's possible to be living in rebellion to God in the sense, or to be living out of alignment with God's will for your life and not realize it? We do it all the time. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who points those things out. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. There is a promise in honoring God in tithes and offerings. Now, when we come before God, we need to come before Him in faith. How many know that the only thing that pleases God is faith? So when we come with an offering, we're coming in faith, believing that God is a rewarder, amen, of those who diligently seek Him. And He is saying here that if you will honor me in these things, which does require, by the way, sacrifice, would you agree that a tithe is a sacrifice? That God says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will keep him out of your finances. There is a statistic that says that 70% of divorces are primarily due to financial problems. Does anybody beside myself realize or had that experience that financial difficulty can put stress on a marriage? Oh yeah. Have you ever had an argument, been in a problem in your marriage over finances? Most people have. Not everybody's had that experience, but many have. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And with the first fruits of all your increase. You see, God wants to bless us. God wants us to be happy. I believe that. To be blessed means to be made happy by God. And God wants to bless us in every area of our lives. And there are some spiritual principles that are here. Some practical principles that God has given us so that He could bless us. Not only in all the other areas of our lives, but also in our financial life. And I know if I were to open it up right now, there would be many testimonies from you of times when God has honored that in your life, when you have taken the risk to obey Him. You've taken the chance to believe that God's word is true. And the Lord said in Malachi, test me in this, prove me in this. This is the only place in Scripture where you see God use that. That you can test Him in this. And see if I will not open the storehouses of heaven, amen? The windows of heaven. And pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to contain. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, Solomon here was given instruction as to how to handle material possessions. Why? So that we would not be entrapped by them. Yeah. The word honor here means proper esteem and respect. To esteem and respect the Lord by obeying Him in this. In Exodus 20 and 12, we're instructed to honor our father and our mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And with this command to honor is a promise of extended days in the land of blessing. And because God is our Creator and our spiritual Father through the new birth, He expects honor. Does He deserve honor? And He gives life to those who honor Him. Honor to whom honor is due. And the same thing is true among us as it is to our Father. When we honor God, He said, to those who honor me, I will honor them. How many want to be honored by God? But when we dishonor God, we actually dishonor ourselves. And to acknowledge Him, to honor the Lord with our substance is really to acknowledge He is Creator and owner of everything. everything, including us. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it." That's you and I. Now, the word possessions here in that Proverbs chapter 3 refers to everything entrusted to us. We're not owners, but trustees or stewards. God is the owner. Now, in Philippians 2:11, we read that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? We are to confess who He is. In reality, He is Lord. You know what Lord means? It means master and owner. We are owned by the Lord. We are His possession. We are His property. And everything that we see, everything that there is, belongs to God. Our resources, our finances belong to God. We are His property as well. And so if He's our owner, then we need to give unto God the honor that is due Him. Now, farmers were expected to bring a sheaf of the first fruits to the Lord before they harvested the crop. After the harvest, they would bring the tithe. And we covered this already, but the firstborn was a term applied to the animals, or the firstlings. The firstborn male animal born to its mother was the Lord's. And you know, we also see a type of Christ here, don't we? The only begotten of the Father, who was set aside for a very divine purpose. Amen. He would become the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. And so there was a reason why God instituted these things. And in everything that God did, it was to show us a picture of the redemption in Christ Jesus. That which was first belonged to God. Why? Because He is creator and owner of everything. The tithe, therefore, was holy. That means it was separated unto God. And it says in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 14, that this was a statute forever. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day, listen, that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. That was not to cease. Why would God, who owns everything and needs nothing, require of us the first fruits of every increase? Because God loves you. And because God does it for your good. It's for our own good. You know why? Because it's easy for us to trust in the creation rather than the Creator. To love and trust the thing created more than the one who gave it. That's what we call idolatry, folks. Is when we begin to worship the created thing before God. Whatever you put before God is an idol. And the love of money is the root of all evil. The biggest idol in the world is the god of money. People worship money. They sacrifice family, children, even have abortions, all because of finances, because of money. I don't want to be hindered. I want to live my life. I want to live the extravagant life. And this child is an inconvenience. He's a hindrance. Therefore, I will sacrifice this unborn child to the god of mammon. Wow, I know that sounds harsh, but folks, that is a reality that happens. Thank God there is forgiveness for that in Christ, and there is healing available at the cross. But it is a reality that many have gotten into idolatry. Any society that rebels against God enters into idolatry, and it calls for sacrifice. And it says in 1 Timothy 6:10 that some have strayed even from the faith in their greediness. I want you to hear this. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why? Because of the love of money. Giving is the best way to protect us from greed. It challenges, it tests our faith, folks. It takes faith. Man, I know. But if we trust God, trust His Word, and when we present an offering, we bring it to Him with the right attitude and the right spirit of thanksgiving. Amen? Of cheerfulness, of saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Amen? Thank you, God, even for giving me something to eat today. Yes. Hallelujah. And honor God with the first fruits. Honor God in the tithe as well. And we're going to get into this. And I want you to, in my study, I came across something that I hadn't really thought of before, and I thought it was interesting. I'm going to present it to you tonight for your prayerful consideration. But Jesus said in Luke 16:13, you cannot serve God and money. True? There are many who have been shipwrecked in the faith, Christians, because they have been choked by money. In America, the God of money has taken priority over people's own walk with God. Come on. We are more interested in entertainment, in pleasure, than we are God. We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we know that money, amen, has power to get your way. Are you with me? I mean, if you have money, if you have wealth, you have power in this world. And so it's very easy for us to trust in those uncertain riches, to shift away from our trust in God and to begin to trust in our employment. Trust, amen, in our bank accounts. Yeah. And all of us have been tested in this. All of us have struggled with this. Let's be honest. It's tough sometimes, you know, to be obedient. But it always you always receive a greater reward when you've honored God and you've listened to Him. And God wants His people to be protected, I believe, in their finances. And it doesn't matter. I heard someone come up to me a while ago and said, I don't care if I make $10 this week. I've determined that I'm going to give God a dollar. I'm going to honor God in the tithe, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. And we're going to look into this, because there has been some confusion, and quite frankly, in my Christian experience, especially earlier on, there was confusion in my own heart about this. Is tithing scriptural? Is it New Testament? Or was that just something that they did under the law? Well, how many know that it didn't, that tithing predated the law? And the law actually just affirmed it. The tithe. I want you to think about Adam and Eve in the garden, placed in the garden as what? Stewards of God's garden. It was the garden, it's called the garden of God. It wasn't their garden. They were placed in there to dress it, to keep it, as stewards of the garden. How many remember there were many trees in the garden? But in the midst of the garden, there were two trees. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Huh. Now, they had access to everything. Everything in the garden, except one tree. Come on now, that tree was forbidden. Why? Because that belonged to God. And it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so they are presented with a test to choose. Because without choice, and I heard it this week, without the choice there could be no reward for obedience. And I thought that was good. But they were presented with choice. And there was a test. Whether they would eat of that which was forbidden. God had separated that one place, that one tree. They were not to eat of it, lest they should die. Folks, I want to suggest to you tonight, and I want you to prayerfully consider, if I'm saying this by the Holy Spirit to you tonight, that when you do not tithe, you're actually eating that which belongs to God. I was actually going to preach this morning, but I didn't feel led to do so. And the service went the way the Holy Spirit had directed it. And I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight, but if there's some adjustments that you need to make, then listen to what's being said by the Holy Spirit through His Word tonight. Amen? Because God wants to bless you, and He can unless you honor Him in this way, in this manner. You've got to come to a place where you say, I'm not my own anymore. What I have does not belong to me. God has entrusted to me certain things in this world, but the first fruits and the firstlings belong to God. Amen? It is holy to the Lord. And so what happened is they ate of that which belonged to the Lord. And you see throughout Scripture, when they went into the land, amen? And they went into Jericho, why they were not to take of the accursed things? Why? It was the first fruit offering unto the Lord. And they disobeyed God in that. And they took of those things, the idols and the wealth, some of the wealth from the land. And we see also in other cases where Saul had offered, you know, he had kept the best of the sheep and the oxen to do what? Well, he got spiritual and he said to sacrifice to the Lord your God when Samuel confronted him. Huh? We like to make excuses for our disobedience. And so Adam and Eve presented with this test. Obviously, this tree must have been beautiful to look upon. It must have been desirable. It was hard to deny. But we have to make a determination. Do I love God more than I do money? Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4:4, Abel took the firstborn of his flocks. This is from the very beginning, folks. This is the way it is. And he presented it to God, and God received his offering. Now, in Hebrews 11:4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. God honors those who honor him. Cain's offering was rejected by God. You know, I don't know about you, but I've always wondered about, I've done a lot of study and research into this, and I've had different kind of scenarios come up. But the Septuagint, which is what the Greek version of the Old Testament, puts it this way. This is what God said to Cain, because Cain's offering was rejected. He said, listen, thou didst rightly present. In other words, he came in the right process and the way he was supposed to bring the offering to God. But thou didst not rightly divide. What took place here, folks, was that Cain did not give the full offering to God as Abel did. He presented it in the right manner, probably even in the right motivation, possibly. But he had held back that portion that was holy unto the Lord. That means it was God's portion. It was not for him to hang on to. It was to be given back to God. It was to be offered to God. Are you hearing that? And as a result, Cain was rejected, but Abel found favor because Abel gave completely with the right motivation, the right heart, cheerfully. He brought his best to God, and God honored that. And even today, as it says, he is being remembered for his gifts. God himself testifying of his gifts. How many know that when God takes notice of your gifts, good things will come? You may not be seeing anything right away, but you keep being faithful to give to the Lord, to sow in the Holy Spirit, and guess what? God, in His time, is going to bring in a harvest. If you don't give in faith, then don't expect anything. But when you give in faith and you believe that God will honor His Word, and He will provide, according to his promise. He will even rebuke the devourer. He will rebuke Satan out of your finances and say, don't touch it. They have honored me. They have given unto me the first fruits and the tithe. And therefore, God will honor those who honor him. And God is able, amen, to get the devil out of your finances. The reason why a lot of people struggle financially, folks, is simply that they're not obeying God in this. I struggled with this when I was a young Christian because we were hand to mouth. Life was tough, you know. And there's been other seasons, especially in ministry, where it's been hard to get by. But I've learned that God honors His Word, that He's faithful. If I will not eat that which belongs to Him, if I will give to God what belongs to God, amen, and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, you got to obey the laws of the land too, then God will honor you because you're representing Him also in the land that you live, amen? So that means we have to pay taxes. So Cain decided that a tenth of his produce was too much. After all, God certainly didn't need it. So he took a nice offering. How many have heard this one before? Good thing, but not the right thing. Oh God, you know, I know it's not the whole thing, but it's something. God would understand. He understands that you don't trust Him fully. It's tough. But He said, test me in this. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Oh, sometimes we get pushed right to the limit. Amen? It's not always easy. But I have found over and over again, I've given certain amounts of money before. And I would slip it out. I've even had people give me money that I knew wasn't for me, and I would just let it slip through and give to somebody that needed it more than I did. If God says this belongs to them, give it to them. Amen? Don't eat that which belongs to somebody else too. But I've given certain sums of money only to say that, like, even sometimes the same day or the next day or within a week, somebody will just come up and say, God told me to give this to you. And it would be the exact same amount. I've seen that many times. The exact same amount that I gave away, somebody gave back into me. And God says, that's for you. Do you see, it's very important that we get beyond our natural understanding. Amen? That we just don't lean on our natural understanding. That we're not wise in our own eyes. But that we acknowledge God in all of our ways. That we do what He says, and He will honor you. And He will bless you as He has promised. And you can take the word and you can say, even as they did over throughout Scripture, they said, Lord, but you said, your promise to our forefathers was that you'd give us a land. Amen? And so it is true that we can say, God, you promised in your word. God wants you to hold Him to His word. He wants you to do that. He wants you to trust Him, see? But He wants you also to say, Lord, I hear what you say, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe you. Hallelujah. No one can come to God on his own terms. We try to do that, don't we? You know, Cain loved the product more than he did God, and therefore, when God honored Abel, because Abel had honored God, and he had obeyed God in this, then he even got jealous to the point of hatred, which led to murder. And you see, again, the love of money is the root of all evil. How many of you are hearing stories all the time? People are murdering their spouse or their children or over money, over insurance policies, and the love of money, the wars that we have encountered in the world. Many of them have just been manufactured for the sake of money, possession, greed, wanting more. It's not money itself is not evil. It's the love of money. It's when you make money your God, then it becomes evil. Now, Abraham was what? The father of faith. Prior to the giving of the law of Moses, he paid tithe of all of his wealth that came into his possession to Melchizedek, who in type represented the eternal priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read that in Hebrews chapter 7 if you want to do a little study on Melchizedek. Without beginning of days, Abraham recognized God as the source of all blessing. Now, number one, the law did not originate tithing. It simply embraced it. Number two, tithing was clearly a part of the covenant of promise demonstrated by Abraham. Would you say amen to that? Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, after the promise that God gave to Abraham, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ." He was there. Jesus was there when he spoke to Abraham and he promised him that he would have an inheritance, amen, as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the heavens. And you and I are part of that, by the way. And it cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So we cannot use the excuse that the law, amen, when the law was done away with, that this tithing had gone away. Why? Because tithing was from the very beginning, as we've just read. Tithing predated the law. Tithing was that which Abraham did. Who Abraham represents who? You and I. The faithful. Those who believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. How are we justified? By faith. Amen? How were they justified before the law? By faith. As a matter of fact, even when the law was instituted, it was the same way. If you read Hebrews 11, all those were justified by faith. They looked forward to the promise. We look back, amen, a little over 2,000 years ago to the cross, and we believe and are saved. God's eternal covenant that he made with Abraham, and that out of him, amen, would come the seed that would be Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that through Jesus Christ, you and I would come in to the covenant that God made to Abraham. That he would take his laws and write them on our hearts. Amen? And our sins and our lawless deeds he would remember no more. Forgiveness, a blotting out of our transgressions. Amen? A purging of our iniquities. God is making his bride pure. He's making her holy. He's getting her ready. And God has given to us some principles to live by, that if we will obey God in this, and we will not eat that which belongs to him, but we will give it. It was to be brought into the storehouse, which at the temple was the temple at that time would be the church, if you will. Now you obey God and what he tells you to do, all right? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what the Word of God is saying. And I know out of personal experience that when I got past myself and I said, it doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm going to start obeying God in this. Because God said to the people in Malachi's day that if you eat the tithe and you don't honor me in this way, that he'll actually send a curse upon finances. And he said that if you honor me and you give unto me what belongs to me, you honor me in this way, then I will rebuke the devil, basically. I'll keep him out. Now, are we willing to believe God to the degree of his promise? Yeah. And so you're going to run in. If you're in obedience here, praise God for that. If not, listen to what God is saying. But take this, and when you run into people, there's a lot of people that are struggling, folks, in the church, because they're just not obeying God in this. We want to make excuses sometimes for what is clear in Scripture. No, I know you've never done that before, but we look for loopholes in the Word. Has anybody ever looked for a loophole? Now, surely it can't mean that. There's got to be a theological twist here, something that I can dig up or find or piece together that's going to say what I want it to say. You can study Scripture from a bias. You can have your mind already made up before you get into the Word, and so that Word is going to line up with your theology. Come on. God doesn't change. It's you and I. We need to change. Jesus Himself declared in Matthew 23 and 23 that His followers should pay their tithes. And this was sometime, by the way, after the time of John the Baptist. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. What is he saying? That when John came on the scene, it was the going out of the old covenant, amen? And a new was coming in. The kingdom of God was being preached. Jesus, amen, said, this blood is, amen, this cup represents the blood of the new covenant. So we have entered in to this new covenant in the blood of Christ. And so John the Baptist was the end of the old, amen, the law and the prophets. And Jesus brought in the new way. Therefore, this statement that Jesus made regarding tithes was after John the Baptist had passed away. Do you see it? When he spoke to the Pharisee, he told them they are also not to neglect, amen, their tithing as well. He didn't say, it's over now, I've showed up, the kingdom's among you, no longer do we. Why? Because we read from Leviticus that this was an everlasting statute. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, all the way through, they offered the first fruits, they offered the firstlings unto God. That portion was holy unto the Lord. We were not to eat of that portion. It belonged to God. And it has not changed because we are under the same covenant of Abraham today in Christ. Jesus, amen, was a fulfillment of that promise of the seed. Out of His loins would come the Messiah. Jesus has entered into an eternal priesthood. And because we are a royal priesthood in the new covenant, therefore we've been given the privilege and opportunity to God in honoring Him in this way through our tithes and offerings. And many would agree with me that obedience brings joy. It may not be easy. Sacrifice sometimes is painful. Oh, I don't know about you, but I think sacrifice is painful. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. But God is in the sacrifice. What was it that got God's attention? It was when Solomon had offered thousands of burnt offerings. Who was it in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius? Who offered unto God alms? Amen? His prayers and his alms. He honored the Lord in his prayers and his giving. And as a result, God honored him. If you want the devil out of your finances, you've got to give God the honor that's due him. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. How many know that he got his attention? So what it says. Matthew 6 and 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Folks, tithing is for our benefit. What you give to God, you will not lose. What you try to hold on to, you will lose. If you give to God what belongs to God, God will preserve it. He will keep it for you. How many have ever had your kids when they were little You started to teach them about finances and had a little piggy bank. And you started to set a little bit aside for them. But they were the ones that were, when they would receive some money, I don't know if you've ever done this, but many have, they'd have them put a portion of that in savings in the piggy bank. Why? For the benefit of the child. Mom and dad weren't going to break into the piggy bank, at least not a good mom and dad. But they were storing up, laying up something that was separated out to teach them a principle about saving. Amen? Because if you eat all the seed, you know, that you receive, you're not going to have anything to plant for next year's harvest. And so it is when we honor God and we give back to Him, amen, that first fruit offering. And the tithe is 10%. It's always been 10% off the top. When you honor God in this way, God will honor you, and He promised with that that He would rebuke the devourer. And once again, I want to say this, folks. I'm not preaching this message because we're in some kind of financial hole. I'm preaching this because this is something that needs to be said. Because I want you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And God put this on my heart, and I've been kind of fighting it for a long time because I don't like speaking about money because of the things that get attached to it and the misunderstanding. Oh, there they go again. They're after your money. But I'm not that way. I think you know that. It's about obeying God in something that will bring blessing in your life. I believe that God wants us to be healthy in every way, including financial. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have extravagance necessarily, but God will make sure that our needs will be taken care of. And Cornelius was a man who prayed. He sowed in the Spirit. And he gave to the poor. He gave alms. And that got the attention of the Lord. And He sent an angel to him, remember. So now, it's our decision, our choice to obey God in this. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the bank book, folks. Come on. We've got to look beyond the natural to our supernatural God, El Shaddai, amen? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And Shaddai means more than enough, amen? But He is our provider. So we've got to get our eyes off the natural, get our eyes on Jesus. We can say to the Lord what He's already promised in His Word. And when we come with the right attitude of thanksgiving that He has entrusted to us a certain amount, amen, as stewards of His possession. He owns the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord, amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills too. And He owns us ultimately. And I don't know about you, but it's freeing to be able to get to a place where now you're looking through a different lens. You've known God's faithfulness. You've learned that God is true to His Word. That if I will do even what naturally may seem ridiculous, but if I will do what He says to do, that God will honor His Word. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Not that the Lord needs anything, but that would be used to feed the poor. It'd be used to feed the priests. It'd be used for the, amen, for those who worked and served in the tabernacle. And so it would be brought in. And then the Lord said, if you bring in the tithe into the storehouse, if He says, try me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it.